us today a little bit about the gospel reading that we had. I realized that this particular gospel reading talks about an issue that is not normally for public discourse. But I wanted to be able to focus perhaps not as much on what the woman was healed of, but as much as the fact that she was healed by Jesus, and that it actually happened, which is pretty neat to think about. This idea of healing is something that in the church generates some level of controversy. And usually anything that's worth talking about does have some level of controversy to it. And there's a large chunk of the church that thinks that the supernatural acts of God ended when the last of the apostles died. They believe that that was a certain dispensation for that time, and that nothing else continues of that to this day. But Methodists and Anglicans and a good other portion of the witness of the Christian faith believe that those things continue onward into this day. If you go back and look at the history of the Methodist Church with Wesley and a bunch of the other folks, there was an awful lot of pretty interesting stuff going on in terms of supernatural acts of God that today would make the newspapers. And they might initially make the tabloids. but in Scripture, whenever Jesus healed somebody, the person who was healed would go around and would proclaim what God had done in their life. And it was a first-hand account and a witness account to what had happened to them. And in the case of this woman, everybody in town would have known what her illness was and what her challenge was. For years of her life, she spent everything that she had trying to become whole. She had gone to physicians, she had gone to all different kinds of healers, and nothing had worked. Nothing. And I don't know if anybody has ever felt despair, but she was feeling despair. She had gone and done everything that she possibly could, and nothing was there. Nothing was working, and her back was to it, and there was nothing that could be done. And it was in that moment that she realized that the only person that could heal her, the only thing that she had not tried, was Jesus Christ. And she broke all kinds of social rules by going out in public when she was ritually unclean for her medical condition in that time period. She shouldn't have been in public, and she definitely should not have touched anybody. But she knew she had enough faith to go ahead and buck the social trend and to go ahead and go against what she knew would bring retribution down upon her, because she knew that this was the only way, this was her only hope. And so she went for it with all that she had, and she reached out and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was immediately healed. And it's an interesting story. Jesus knew the power had gone out from him. Something happened. And there was an exchange that occurred there. And it wasn't even some big flashy thing. I don't know if any of you have seen the faith healers on TV. They wave at the crowd, and the first 15 people in each row fall back and are slain in the spirit. And I've never been to one of those, so I can't pronounce judgment on them and what's happening there, but I would just like to point out that Jesus didn't even necessarily know she was coming. Maybe he did, but it wasn't a big showy thing. She snuck through the crowd and touched his garment and was healed. It wasn't a big flashy thing out in front. It just took place, and he says, "Your faith has made you well." So I want us to look at the question, does God still heal today? Does this ever really still happen? And I think you know my opinion on it already going into this, but I'd like to show a little bit of scriptural background to it and then some current testimony about it as well. So if we look at the Old Testament, people like to kind of take the Old Testament as a separate thing from the New Testament. But if you look at it together, you can see the consistency of God's redemptive work throughout history. The Old Testament actually has the same story as the New Testament, and vice versa. And in the Old Testament, we see that it's in God's character and in his nature to want to heal us. It says in Exodus, "I am the Lord who heals you." It's a part of his love for us that he wants us to be healed and to be whole. And there's actually several examples in the Old Testament that I don't have time to go into in a sermon on Sunday morning. In the Old Testament, people who were miraculously healed. And you might even be able to think of some of them if you think a little bit about it. But God acted in the Old Testament, and that was when there were only glimpses of the kingdom of God and what was coming. And under the Holy Spirit. And so now we live under the new covenant where Jesus has come and he's given us the fullness of his Spirit. It's not like the Old Testament where there were only little spots and glimpses here and there. We live in a time now where Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom of God among us, and we can confidently expect that he will act according to that and in those ways among us. So when we get into the beginning of the New Testament, right at the very beginning of Mark in chapter 1, the very first recorded words that Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark. So it's interesting to pay attention to that because it was the first thing that's recorded. It must be important. It says, "The time has come," Jesus said, "the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So this idea of the kingdom of God is not referring to like an earthly kingdom with physical boundaries. It's referring to the fact that the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God among us. And we live now under the new covenant in a time when we're expecting Christ to return. So one theologian says that we are already not yet people. We live in this already not yet time period where Jesus has come. And we have access to living in the kingdom of God as followers of Christ. But his second coming hasn't occurred yet. We're still burdened with what happens here on earth, right? We still have pain. We still have sickness. We still have disease. We still have all these things that are going on. And one day, that will not be the case. Most of us probably believe that after we die, we don't experience those things anymore if we are following Jesus Christ. There's a complete healing that occurs, and we are brought into the reality of the fullness of God's original intent and plan for us, which was not to suffer, but to have life and have it to the fullest. So in Romans, Paul kind of puts it this way. He says, "We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the redemption of our bodies." So in other words, the total redemption of our bodies waits for the second coming of Christ. Well, someday we're going to get these awesome heavenly bodies. Remember the body that Jesus had after he rose from the dead? He passed through the wall and went in to meet with his disciples, but he was also able to eat fish and it didn't go right through him and fall on the floor because he wasn't a ghost. He had a real body, okay? And so we're going to receive heavenly bodies like him. So as we talk about healing and whatnot, it's important to pay attention to the fact that sometimes when we pray for people, they're healed. And sometimes when we pray for people, we don't see the healing happen in the way we asked for it. How many of you have prayed for somebody that they would be healed and they ended up dying? Right? It happens. We can't ignore that fact, okay? And I will stand up here and say, I don't know why. There's lots of different reasons why that it could be, but only God really knows. But I will tell you that if we 100% of the time do not pray for people for healing, we 100% of the time will not see people healed. So we live in this sort of between the times thing where sometimes we see the kingdom of God break through in all of its glory. Let me see if I can describe it to you this way. You remember there was a couple of years ago where it actually almost hit 70 in January. I don't know if you remember that. It was pretty wild. And we were expecting it to be super cold, but we had this day where the temperature just shot right up. And it's kind of like that. We live in this world in a certain way, and we see things happen a certain way all the time. occasionally the kingdom of God breaks through in an amazing way and it makes us sit up and take note of, wow, look at what just happened. So that's what Jesus' ministry to us in Scripture and to us now shows, that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. And Jesus preached this good news everywhere that he went. And he didn't just preach, but he healed the sick. And he raised the dead and he cast out demons. The crowds that were following him around not because he told good jokes in his sermon. Although he probably did have some good ones being a carpenter by training, right? You know, so. But they followed him around because there were these really awesome things happening that were astonishing to them that nobody else was doing. And so he calls his 12 disciples together at some point in the Gospels, and he says to them that he gives them authority to heal and to drive out evil spirits, to heal every disease, to heal every sickness. And he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And so Jesus did it, and he also told his disciples to go and do it. And it's not just the 12 disciples that were told, but if you remember when he was going to ascend into heaven, right, at the very end, he gives the Great Commission, which is emblazoned on the front of the UMC main website. If you go and take a look at it, it talks about going and make disciples, okay? We urge you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all those folks were sent out and given the authority to do all of this as well. And it continues on down to us. When we take the Great Commission to go and make disciples, right? That sounds pretty easy to do. But the other part of what Jesus told us to do is to go and to heal the sick and to cast out demons and to do all these things that seem a little edgy for a little New England church in Brownsville, Vermont, okay? And but these are the things that we're asked to do. So, does Jesus still heal today? We can see lots of accounts in Scripture. Does he still heal today? Anybody know Augustine of Hippo? Ever heard that name? City of God, he wrote that, okay? Theologian back in the first 5 centuries of the church. And in that book, he talks about people being healed. He says, even now, miracles are wrought in the name of Christ. And then he goes on and lists example after example after example of blind people being healed, all different kinds of miracles, and many of them are in great detail if you want to go back and read it. And so, all throughout the ages in the church, I could keep us here all morning, but I won't tell you stories of people being healed all throughout history after Jesus ascended into heaven. So, bottom line, God is a God who still heals. And one day we're going to have this perfect body. And in this life, we never reach that perfection. But when God heals somebody in one of these miraculous ways, we get a glimpse of the future. We get a glimpse of the redemption of our bodies. You know, there's only one way out of this earth. And every one of us is going to head that way. It's a one-way ticket. And everyone is going to ultimately die physically. Okay? No one has escaped that yet. One or two in the Old Testament got taken up in chariots, but that was about it. our bodies are breaking down. They're decaying. I don't have to tell you, you start to have trouble with your knees and your back and this and that and the other thing, right? Okay? But, and sometimes it's better to prepare somebody for death. And hospice does a wonderful, wonderful work with that, and those that work in palliative care. We all get to that point, eventually. But God still wants to work healing in our lives. And sometimes through that process, there can be great healing wrought in our lives. But we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and be willing to pray for people for healing, even if it seems like, well, I don't really think this is going to happen. John Wimber, some of you might know who he is. But he says, when we prayed for no one, no one was healed. Then he says, but now we pray for lots of people. Not everyone's healed, but some are. Okay? So it's not necessarily for us to understand it all, but it's for us to be obedient and to go and to do it. Okay? And even when we pray for someone, if they're not miraculously healed right in front of us, they usually receive a blessing. You know? It's pretty neat to see. Some people in the body of Christ are given special gifts to pray for people for healing. But it doesn't mean that we should all leave all the praying to those few people that have those gifts. Because Jesus' mission is to all of us. Just like we're all told to go out and to make disciples and to preach the gospel to all nations, we're also told to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's scripture. So it's really not us, not we who heal. It's God who heals. It's by the power of His Holy Spirit that people are healed. And there's no technique involved. There's no magic words. There's no formula. We humans like to try to have a formula that we can take and have it be repeatable. We like to engineer God sometimes and put Him in a box and say, well, if we do this, God has to do this. And it doesn't always work that way. We follow Christ's model of compassion. His motive for praying for people, His motive for healing them, was that He loved them. He had such compassion and such love for them that He healed them. So it's not our prayer that heals people. It's the power of God in the name of Jesus that heals people. So I'm going to give you a change of voice. Ask someone to come and to share testimony of how they were healed pretty miraculously from something. And we heard about the issue of blood in Scripture today, in the Gospel. And again, I realize that's something that we're not all that comfortable talking about in church. But sometimes it's important to be able to look at something and say, okay, this is what was happening. And look how God worked in healing. And so I would like you to have the chance to hear a testimony from someone who actually experienced the supernatural healing of God in pretty undeniable, amazing ways. So if you would come up, then I'm sure with us.
Okay. Christian asked me to share this story because he remembers it. He remembers what was happening in my life. For a long time, I had the same problem as the lady who was talking about. And it was very severe, and I was very weak for a few years because of it. I had a lot of tumors that were exacerbating that problem, and I just figured, well, this is how it is. But it kept getting worse and worse, and I had some surgery, and it didn't help. I used to sing in a choir over at Chester in St. Luke's Church, and it got so bad that I couldn't stand up to sing in the choir, because the minute I made any pressure at all and sang, then I would have excessive bleeding, and I really honestly didn't know how in the world is anybody going to keep doing this for forever, and how do you have a life with this? You know, I would go shopping, and I couldn't finish my shopping, especially if I went to Market Basket, because it took a longer time to get home. And I couldn't solve it at all. I went to a big organ concert. I had taken Christian to, I never say it right, the Lasalette.
That's right, Lasalette Shrine.
Well, that's the first time I've said it right. And I couldn't even stay to speak to the person that gave the concert because I knew I was in trouble and I had to get right home. So, just kept getting worse and worse. To the point where I was lying down and trying not to move around much. And I got, I think Christian used the word despair. I say despair, distraught, fearful, why, asking why. And I finally got to the point where I really threw myself on the mercy of the court, you could say. Said, okay, I don't know what to do. And if this keeps up at this rate, I'm not going to live. And it was obvious. Finally, one night, when it was so bad, I couldn't even get up. Walter came into this little room that we had in our house, and I was on a cot there because it was next to the bathroom. And he kneeled down next to me, and he said, "I don't know what to do for you. What can I do for you?" And I looked at him, and I said, "I guess you need to pray for me." So he did. And I can't say that I'm the one that had the great faith. I was just, what's happened, you know. But Walter prayed, and I know that he did. At that time, he had the faith for me. And after bleeding for several years, before midnight of that night, it stopped. I couldn't even believe it stopped. I was sure it didn't stop. It did stop, and never, ever happened again. But nothing good happened until I was prayed for. Nothing. I often have wondered what would have happened if I just never asked for healing or nobody had ever prayed for me. This is my good run around and say, "Pray for me," because when you have that kind of problem, you kind of keep it to yourself. But the next morning, still healed. Next day, healed. On and on it went, till finally I relaxed in the fact that God truly had touched me when nobody else could help me. They had even talked about operating on all these tumor things, and that never had to happen, because bleeding never happened again. So I really rejoiced, and I understood that even though we have shaky feelings or beliefs around healing, I couldn't deny what happened to me, could I? And Jesus told people a lot of times when they were healed, "Okay, now go and tell others." So I haven't very often, I think only maybe two times I've ever talked about this since it happened. But when Christian asked me, that's what came to my mind. You're supposed to share the power of God that you have felt. Share that so other people can trust and have confidence in Jesus Christ. I think the reason that I was healed was because I had tried everything else and nothing worked, right? And I did throw myself in the mercy of the court. So when you try everything else, usually God's the last thing you go to. I don't know why that is. I never figured that one out either. I wrote down a couple things, because now I'm almost 80, so you know I'm probably going to forget something. Well, God has asked us to pray for one another, and that's something we could be doing. You know, husbands and wives, it's very powerful when your mate, the person that you spend all your life with, if you're fortunate. Those prayers, what's that verse that for effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, while a man or a woman. So that's what happens in a marriage. That kind of praying is very powerful. I think that that's something that we should do for one another. It's very loving. And really takes away stress, too, in this world of stress. Sisters pray for one another. Sisters and brothers, or brothers and brothers. Friends. Children can pray for one another. Kids can. God hears those prayers, and He answers them. I remember having a friend when I was a child, and we prayed together, and we really did see answers. You know, I don't know why we go through life and forget that, and then it comes back powerfully to us in one way or the other, and then we get to encourage somebody else. Jesus said to confess your sins one to another. Well, sometimes you need another person to help you when you're dealing with something very deep and troubling. You don't have to always be alone. Sometimes it's psychological, sometimes it's other things. I think that's why I said confess your sins one to another, because we can enlighten each other and help each other. He said, where two or three are gathered together, I'll be there in the midst of them. He's got promises all over the place that when we pray together, he's there, he's present. He's very, very powerful. God, I've been thinking lately, is really very supernatural. Christian mentioned that. Christian said a lot of the things that I was thinking about. He did a good job of sharing that. God's a supernatural God. He can heal, but it sure is on his timetable. Jesus said, just before he went to heaven, this amazing promise that I don't think we ever reach out and touch. He said, when I go to heaven, there will be greater things that you have seen. You think you have seen miracles? You haven't seen anything yet. There's greater things, and you will be the ones that will do it. I keep saying, I'm going to work through you. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, and every time I say that, it brings tears to my eyes. Holy Spirit, the breath of God. If you think about that, how beautiful and powerful that is. That is who will work through you. We barely touch the edge of his robe. I don't think we've quite gotten there, most of us. Some of us have. We need to believe that he meant what he said. It helps to read the accounts of healing in the Gospels. I was looking through those myself and remembering what he did and what he still does. You can ask God's Holy Spirit to show you the truth as you read his scripture. He did and will show you the truth. Then trust as you pray. Jesus sent Peter to pray for his mother-in-law. How about that one? He really wanted his mother-in-law to get well. It's in Matthew chapter 8. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Then she got up from her sickbed, and she served dinner. Just like that. She was completely healed. She didn't have to wait around, well, maybe tomorrow I'll feel a little better. It was total and complete. This was that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, he himself, Jesus the Christ, he took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses on the cross. So we have that wonderful promise. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. That's all I can say. I hope when you have a need that you remember that he is today and he wants to. And if you have to wait, well then wait and find out what God is showing you. Okay.